so God.
Well, amen. Yeah, that's becoming one of my favorites, I think, that song. And man, just what an awesome worship song. And good job, guys. Great worship today. We won't stand up and hold hands across the aisles again. And all the guys said, praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. You know, how much grief I take from the men about holding hands and praying. All right? It's amazing. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad what we're gonna talk about today is something that's very, very important. And the title's real simple. It's just more than to a degree. And I think you'll get it here in just a minute. But I want us, before we study God's Word and spend some time in God's Word, I do want us to pray. And want us to pray for God to give us wisdom and discernment in understanding what His Word's trying to teach us today. And so let's just pray together. Father, it's good to be in Your presence. And it's so awesome to know that our lives are secure in Your hands. And God, I just pray today that as we open Your Word and begin to read it, that You'll teach us, that You'll truly teach us, that we won't be hard-headed or hard-hearted, but that we'll listen with more than our ears, but we'll listen with our hearts. We'll listen to Your voice. We'll listen to what You have to say to us. And Lord, we'll obey it. Lord, we'll follow Your plan and Your Word. God, I pray that today, that whatever You want to do in us, however You want to work in us, that Your Spirit will be free to work in us, and we'll respond with gladness and with excitement. And Lord, I pray that as we live for You from this day forward, that Your name would be blessed, Your name would be honored, that Your name would be proclaimed through our conduct, through our conversation, through our relationships, through every facet of life, that people would know that we live for Jesus. And God, I pray that You would use us in a mighty way to proclaim the good news of the gospel to the world, and that more people would come to enjoy the sweet pleasure of Your fellowship. And Your lordship, and Your salvation. So Lord, work Your work of grace in us today. Use Your word to transform our lives. And may You be blessed by our obedience. We give You praise today. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and make your way to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. We've been studying through the book of James, and this is kind of the companion book in the Old Testament to the book of James. This Old Testament passage here in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4 in particular, is just really, really, it's so appropriate for what we want to talk about today. And by the way, let me just say, a lot of what I'm going to say today is geared toward and shaped toward our graduates, as they're going to be graduating now, moving on, and they're at one of those defining moments in life. But all of us are at a defining moment in some sense, and that is, tomorrow's coming. I mean, today's here, we've lived it, and tomorrow's coming, it's a new day, it's a new start, and you know, we can be fully devoted followers of Jesus right now and forevermore. And so I want you to think in those terms, but I want to start by thinking about this. There are two kinds of defining moments in life. One kind is the unplanned. Unplanned defining moments happen to all of us, and those are those unexpected events that just rush into our lives, and all of a sudden, everything's changed. I mean, all of our life is altered because of this thing that happened. But we didn't count on it. We didn't plan on it. We didn't want this to happen. We didn't orchestrate the event so that this could happen. It just happened. And now that it's happened, everything's different. Everything's different. But then there's the other kind of defining moments. And those are the planned defining moments. Those are things that actually just happen through the normal course of life. And they are expected. They are planned for. And with it, they bring natural, expected results. And for example, think about this. You turn 16, what are you thinking about? Driving, absolutely, driving. You know, which is amazing. You know what I'm so glad of today? This is just kind of one of those side thoughts just hit me. That little device now that you can put in the car, have you heard about these? You can, and parents, go research this. You can put this device in your child's car and you know exactly where they are at all times. Isn't that cool? They'll even tell you how fast they're going. All right? That's just so cool. So go buy one of those and stick it on their car. 16, though, you know what? If you get your license, then you know what the natural result is? Driving. They expect you to drive. People expect you to drive. Another thing. You finish your formal school, be it high school, college, technical school, whatever it is, people naturally expect that once you graduate, that's a defining moment, that's a planned, defined moment. Now, you're to get a job, okay? You're to get a job, go to work, make some money, earn your own living. You plan for getting married, you get married. What do your parents now want? Grandchildren, they're expecting children to come after that. See, when these big, defining, planned, defining moments happen, there's a natural result, something that follows. And that's kind of the point that I want to make as we start today. You see, plan-defining moments summarize or celebrate an accomplishment, and it's big. But that's not all. That's not it. You see, they lead to something bigger. So when you think about that, not only do we need to finish well, but we need to make sure that we start well. That we're putting the right foot forward and we're going in the right direction when we get started. Because when you celebrate the accomplishment of this one defining moment, you need to think, I'm just now stepping onto a bigger, greater stage in life. And so I got to get started right here. And then there's no better place to read about how to get started right than in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It's kind of, this is, verse 18 is the center of this whole chapter. And listen to what he writes. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. That's kind of cool when you think about it. You think, what's he really trying to say? What he's trying to say is this. The path of the righteous, that's the path of the wise man. The person that's wise, that's walking in wisdom. And it's kind of like this. When the sun comes up in the morning, you know, and it starts to rise, everything starts to light up. And you're able to see. And then it keeps going until the full day is here and it lights up the whole earth so that you can see the path that you need to follow and you know exactly what to do because you can see it. That's the path of the righteous. And what he's telling us is, he's telling us that for us, if we want to walk in wisdom, then we need to walk in the light of God's word and the light of God's grace and make our path straight in following him. Consequently, he says, you know what? The way of the wicked is different. The way of the wicked, in verse 19, is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. In other words, he contrasts the way of the righteous. The world's lit up. You know the path to follow. You know exactly what to do in order to honor and live for Jesus. But the path of the wicked is like deep darkness, and you're tripping over all kinds of things. You don't know which direction to go because you're walking in deep darkness. Now, here's the problem. You're thinking, okay, that's great. We're in church. It's Sunday morning. I mean, we're not out fishing. We're not out still celebrating graduation. We're in church. So we're the righteous. We're walking in the light, okay? You got it. But you know what? Most people who start off right don't take a hard left turn into wickedness. They do it one step at a time, one degree at a time. Just a slight veer off course can take you down a path of destruction. You know, you start thinking about it, especially when you're thinking about graduating from high school or college and you think about the whole world's in front of you and all this good stuff. I wonder how many people start off where you started off. You got a Christian family, somebody teaching you how to live for Jesus. You had people, adults that are pouring their lives into you, shaping your life, teaching you how to live for Jesus, how to live a life fully devoted to him. And then somewhere down the line, they wake up one morning and go, man, how did I get so far away from God? It didn't happen overnight. Just one step at a time, one degree off course led them to the wrong place. And you know what? That is true for a lot of areas of life, many areas of life. And just to illustrate the point, we prepared a little video. I want you to watch this and listen for how slight the errors were and how great the devastation. Thank you.
Charles Sutton Jr. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. When you're dealing with a prosthesis, sizing of the components are critical. This is why preoperative planning and intraoperative measurements are important, so that you pick the proper stem size and the proper ball size. 1 millimeter too much could cause a fracture of the femur when you're inserting this into the thigh bone. If you have a socket component which is too large, you can't seat it into the pelvic acetabulum or our natural socket. And that would allow the component to move a little bit. The plastic under ideal circumstances can last for 20 years. But if it's offset a little bit, wear can take place sooner than that. And this would mean going in and redoing the procedure, which is not acceptable.
Where do you want to go today? Hi, my name is Chris Dewey and I'm a captain at Atlantic Southeast Airlines. You may not have thought much about what it takes to get from point A to point B. However, I assure you it's more than just buying your ticket, braving security, and then being crammed in like a sardine. Before we can go anywhere, the route that we're flying, as well as the fuel that's needed, is planned based on the weather, any airspace restrictions, and traffic flow. When we get in the air, it's my job to make sure that the autopilot and navigation computer are carefully set up. If you don't set them up correctly, that can lead to dire consequences. And an example of this happened in September of 1983 with Korean Air Flight 007. It was en route from New York's JFK to Seoul, South Korea, after a stop in Anchorage, Alaska. The autopilot wasn't set correctly and they veered off course into Soviet airspace, where they ended up being shot down. This oversight cost 269 people their lives. As you can see, I must pay attention to every detail, for even being mostly right can still be very costly.
Hello. My name is Dr. Misty Boachi. I'm a clinical pharmacy coordinator here at Henry Medical Center. For us, precision matters because the patient is so important. So I work hard to make sure that there are safety mechanisms in place so that we don't make any mistakes. Because unfortunately, in my line of work, an error could cost someone their life. Another big part of the healthcare we provide here at Henry Medical Center has to do with chemotherapy. For us in the pharmacy, it's very critical for us to make sure that we get their dosage correct. Every regimen is like a fingerprint. Each dose has to be customized based on the patient's weight, height, renal function, and the type of tumor that they have. And for us, accuracy is critical, because if we give too much drug, it will damage living cells that are healthy inside the patient's body. If we give too little drug, then we risk the tumor advancing and taking over the patient's body, and of course leading to an adverse outcome. So for us, we have to strike a very delicate balance and make sure that we get it right every time.
I'm Doug Pate. I'm the manager of the Flutter and Dynamics Group on the F-22 Raptor program at Lockheed Martin. The F-22 is the most amazing airplane ever built. With its stealth technology, supercruise capability, and high maneuverability, it can outperform any airplane out there. The parts of an airplane that allow it to turn or roll are the small sections on the wing and tail called control surfaces. The aileron, flaperons, rudders, and horizontal stabilizers. The control surfaces are held on to the wing and tail with bolts like this one. This is the bolt that holds the actuator to the horizontal stabilizer. The machining allowance on this bolt is about 2/10,000ths of an inch. That's less than the thickness of this sheet of aluminum foil. If the machining allowance is exceeded by too much, the resulting free play can cause the control surface to buzz or oscillate to the point of breaking off the airplane. On September 9th, 1997, another airplane, the F-117 Stealth Fighter, was performing at the Chesapeake Air Show. The pilot was near the end of his maneuver when the right aileron started oscillating, and in less than a second, it broke off the airplane. The pilot lost control and safely ejected. The plane crash-landed and destroyed one house and damaged another. Fortunately, no one was killed. The cause of the accident was that a mechanic doing routine maintenance didn't properly install some bolts like this. Little parts of an airplane can make a huge difference in the safety of the plane and in the life of a pilot. Little things in a person's life that he does or doesn't do can make a big difference too.
Pretty incredible, isn't it? You think about that for a second. The Hubble telescope was off 1/50th the width of a human hair, and he wouldn't focus. Billions of dollars were wasted. You might as well go to Walmart and buy you a telescope and use that. It couldn't focus on the closest planets. Think about that wing on an F-22 fighter jet. If that bolt is off just the width of a sheet of aluminum foil, can cause flutter and break the wing off and be certain disaster. And that's the point. You see, when you talk to people who are starting out after defining moments and you ask them, hey, you know, you're starting on this new stage. You just completed this one phase. Now you're onto this new phase. Are you living for Jesus? And they say, oh, yeah, to a degree. To a degree? I mean, what does that mean? That means I've got most things right, but I got a few things that I'm reserving for myself I'm doing wrong. But when you add it all up, to a degree, I'm living for the Lord. You know what? If you're going to stay on track with Jesus, it takes more than just to a degree. That kind of commitment will get you nowhere. In fact, it will take you to disaster quick. Somebody asked me why these ropes are up here, and I thought about doing a Cirque du Soleil kind of illustration, but I didn't want to hurt myself, so I'll just do this. Here's the point. Here's where we are today. All right, we're right here. This is the path that God has for us. And we're right here. And we're in church. We've got our Bibles. We're learning together. We're celebrating graduation. We're at a defining moment. And it's our turn to live. And somebody says, are you living for Jesus? And you say, man, to a degree I am. Now, doesn't seem real bad right here, does it? Doesn't seem real bad. Even a year down the way, maybe you're right here. Doesn't seem real bad. I'm still pretty close. Less than a foot off. I can get back. But you know what this represents? 80% on target, 20% off. And by the time you're 50, look where you end up. It's critical, isn't it? It's critical that we not only finish well, but it is critical that we get off on the right foot and then we go in the right direction. And the question is, how do I do that? How do I live for Jesus more than just to a degree? Now, I love what the writer of Proverbs says because I think he really gives us some great insight in this, and he just kind of covers the gamut. He talks about what happens with our ears. He talks about what happens in our heart. He talks about what happens with our mouth, what happens with our eyes, and what happens with our feet. And he says, if you get all of this together, you'll live a life for God more than just to a degree. So let me just give you his list. Don't you look down in verse 20, and we'll read down through verse 27, and listen to what he writes. He says, my son, be attentive to my words, and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now, I'm just going to give you this list, and I'm going to give it to you real quickly, but I just want you to jot down these five things. I think this is really, really important for keeping life on track and living for Jesus more than just to a degree. The first thing that we need to do is we need to listen up. That's what he tells us in verse 20. He simply tells us, my son, be attentive to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. He's just listen. Listen to what God has to say. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to God's word. by reading His Word. You understand what God has to say by staying with God's Word. I want to just read you one more proverb. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. It says this: "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." And what he's saying is, you need to listen. You need to keep listening. If you're going to stay on track, be wholly devoted to Christ, then you need to listen. We've got to listen with more than our ears. We have to listen with our heart. What is God's word saying to me? And I'm going to keep listening. Now here's the problem. When we have this one accomplishment and we move on to the next, this results of this defining moment, we oftentimes think, you know what, I know it all. I've got it all planned. I know exactly what I need to do and how I need to live. I know it all. And so instead of learning and leaning on discernment, we just lean on our own desires and say, I'm going to let my passions and my desires guide me, and we get off track. One of the proverbs that you need to write down that has been real meaningful to me is Proverbs 19:27. And it says something very, very simple, but it's very profound. He says this: "Cease to listen to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." And that's pretty profound. Now, what he's saying is this. You think about this when you're graduating. You know, you've been in church, you've been in Bible study, all this has been happening. Maybe your parents have you here, and sometimes you don't want to go, but you've been going, you've been hearing, you've been listening, and now you're on your own. You're on college campus, your own life, doing your own thing, your own way, and you say, you know what? I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to do any of that. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find if that's exactly the attitude that you adopt, this is going to be the picture of your life. This is going to be the picture of your life. You're not going that way. You're going that way. He tells us, Proverbs 19:27, cease to listen to instruction. You stop listening to God's voice, and you're going to stop following God's path. That's going to be the picture of your life. And so the first thing we've got to do is we just got to listen up. Keep listening to God's word. Second thing is this: we need to guard our heart. Verse 23 says this: "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." He's just saying, you know what? We need to guard what goes into us. We're particular about all kinds of things. The food we eat, the clothes we wear, the way we style our hair. I mean, we've got all kinds of things that we are very particular about, and we watch how it happens and what goes on. But we're real careless sometimes about what goes into our heart, what we pour into our life. But he tells us that out of our heart flow the springs of life, that every area of life is affected by what's happening in our heart. And so we need to guard it. Think about this for a minute. I was reading this week, and it just reminded me of this whole thing. You remember the crocodile hunter? Remember him? Now, I always thought he was going to die. Okay, he was going to die early death. But I thought he was going to get bit by a snake, you know? I knew he was always a little bit off, because any man that crawls into a hole filled with snakes, something's wrong with him, you know? Or he was going to get dragged into the water by a crocodile and you know, he was going to do that roll of death, and he was going to die that way. Who would have ever thought that the way the crocodile hunter would die was that he was going to get stabbed in the what? In the heart. The one thing he left exposed was the most important thing in his life. His heart. And so the writer of Proverbs says, listen, make sure you listen to God's word, and make sure you guard your heart. If you want to live for God more than just to a degree, then you've got to guard your heart. Number three is this: keep it clean. He's talking about our tongue. He says in verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. He's just saying, you know what? We need to watch the conversations we get engaged in and the way that we so casually speak about things in this life. And we learned this a couple of weeks ago in James chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And we walk away from that and just keep on engaging in the same conversations, letting the same language fill our lips. And what he says is, you need to keep it clean. If you're going to live for Jesus, then you need to even guard your lips in what you say. Number four, we need to watch where we're going. Verse 25, I love this. He says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Now, when you read that, you're thinking, okay, what he's saying is don't get distracted. And he is saying don't get distracted. In other words, don't get so attracted to things in this world that you forget where you're going, what you're living for. He's saying keep your eyes on the road. I mean, watch where you're going. Watch what's happening before you. Watch where your life is now taking you. Pay attention. And then the fifth thing he says is this. He says, keep it between the ditches. Verse 26 and 27, he says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. He's saying, you know what? Just stay on this path. I mean, God's got a path. God's got a plan. God's got a life in store for you. Live it. It may not always be the easiest path, but it is the best. So live it. Live for Jesus. Don't get off track. It's dangerous. And I was reading all this, and I was just saying, you know what? I know the last thing that you want to do when you graduate from high school is take another list with you or learn another lesson. So I just wanted to keep it simple, but I thought about this illustration from John chapter 6 when you think about what happens so easily in life. In John chapter 6, Jesus is making it clear that he's God. And he uses one of those great I am statements to do it. He says, I am the bread of life. And as the disciples heard that, I mean, it was challenging to them. I mean, some of them just said, no way, this can't be true. And in verse 66, it says that some of the disciples, some of those that were following him, actually turned back and no longer walked with Jesus. Man, there's some big insight in that verse. You see, the reason it's so easy for you to walk away from where you start is because this path away from God is so well beaten down and so well traveled. It's easy to follow. And Jesus, so moved by this whole thing, he looks at his 12 disciples. He says, hey guys, you going to go with them? Are you going to leave too? And you know what my prayer is? My prayer is that we'll be like the Apostle Peter when he responded to Jesus' words. He said this, down in verse 68 and verse 69. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know what you're saying? You're saying, Jesus, we want to live for you more than just to a degree. Because you are the Holy One of God. Our whole life is devoted to you. Defining moments are big, man. It's a great celebration. Great accomplishments. But what's even bigger is what's ahead. So here's the challenge. With your eyes and your lips and your heart and your feet and your ears, with all that you are, live for Jesus. Let's live for Jesus more than just to a degree. Let's stand together.